Welcome to our show this week. We are finally here, everybody. It is Battlecade week. This weekend is Battlecade weekend. The day is Saturday. So Saturday, December 30th, is Battlecade day. We can get really granular, guys. It's a 7 p.m. bell time, I believe. So that's Battlecade hour. I'm going to jump off this crazy train, but you know the card. You know about Trevor Lee versus Roy Wilkins in the First Blood match. You got the ace trying to take out Jesse Adler. You got that big Kane versus Nick Richards match, which I am really looking forward to. I'm going to get as close as I can to check that one out. And there's several other matches. I don't want to short anybody. Oh, Andrew Everett is coming in to face Logan Easton LaRue, defending the home, coming back for the first time in a year. That's going to be really good. Listen, just go to cwftickets.com, get a ticket, come to Gibsonville, North Carolina. You got to be there. I'm going to be there. Please come. On the show this week, part two with Kamikaze Kid. The guy just goes from being so, like, bitingly humorous, dark humor, all kinds of jokes, little quips, very frank. And then he's just so damn insightful in the other moment. He's always insightful. Fast becoming one of my favorites. Look for him to F-bomb several CWF legends in this, while also putting over a ton of guys, including the young guys. Neat, interesting story that he gets to tell about Trevor Lee, which is all true, by the way. Let's get into it. I'll talk to you guys after. Let me ask you this. I always hate that I say that. So let me ask you this, Kazi.
Okay.
You came into CWF really early on. Mm-hmm. So you've watched this thing build for most of the 17 years?
Absolutely, yeah.
Did you expect it to get to the level it's at now? And if you did, did you think it would happen sooner or later?
I always kind of knew that CWF had the potential to be this. I mean, I always knew that we had a special locker room, even back when there was nothing but drama. In fact, I was one of those people that would annoy the crap out of Jeff to put this stuff on, like, send tapes out, put this stuff on YouTube, put this stuff on, like, the internet, make websites with, like, clips. I pitched hardcore. I was like, look, if we make just the hardcore clips of me and put it out there, market as, like, ultra-violent, like, CZW-type stuff, people will love it. People will see it, and they'll be like, oh, look, this guy's getting thumbtacks shoved in his face. And then they'll figure out CWF isn't all about that, and they'll start loving it. Either that or they'll watch it for the hardcore, you know, never know. But I always knew that it had the potential. Now, did I know that it was going to take off and we're going to have a fan con this week? No, I had no idea. But, like, what we piggybacking off last night, Pro Wrestling Day was when shit got real. And then everybody started getting noticed, and then, like, one person got noticed, which caused them to watch the show, and then other people got noticed. And that's what I see. It used to be Trevor this, Trevor this. And now I see the fans on Twitter, and they're like, Eric Royal, Dirty Daddy, Kane Justice. And I love it. And I get kind of depressed sometimes. I'm like, damn, why didn't I listen to people and not take stupid bumps? And now I'm walking like an 85-year-old man that weighs 600 pounds. Like, why didn't I wait? You know, I hate that I'm not a part of it, but I love it for everybody. Everybody here deserves it. You know, maybe except Chappie. But, like, everybody else.
He's not here anymore.
Yeah, fuck him.
He's the Shark Man or whatever.
Yeah, fuck him. Oh, God, I hate Chappie so much. He's a good person. He's a good person deep down. He just makes shitty-ass decisions. So, fuck him. But, yeah, other than that, like, everybody here deserves it, you know?
What has changed? From you have this. I'm trying to think of questions here because you have this unique perspective from an expansive time and watching it, but not like owning the company or having to worry about the business aspects of it. What changed that allowed it to grow in a way that, like, we had people from over 10 states here this weekend, and we'll have a lot more at the show. You guys will. That's not because of me.
Yeah.
What changed that made it so accessible to people, that made them be interested? Because you guys were working for years, and there's a whole archive on YouTube, guys, if you haven't, like, I talk about it in the intro and outro of the show every week. Go to, they make it easy for you, cwfworldwide.com takes you right to their YouTube archive. It's basically a subscription service. It's not a subscription service, it's all free. And a ton of stuff is up there. So, you know, free promotion out of the way.
Absolutely.
Like, what changed in that expanse of time?
Well, first off, like, yeah, CWF ran every 2 weeks for the past 17 years. I don't know of any promotion that's done. Ever. Like, you know, Ring of Honor, all these other promotions, I don't know if they do it that much. We have been continuous. There's only maybe 1 or 2 months where we didn't have two shows. And I can tell you exactly what pinpointed the change for this. It was Brad Stutz. And I tell him this all the time. Me and Brad Stutz used to hate each other when it came to booking. Because he would hear an idea and he'd be like, that shit, fuck off. That's it. Like, no talking, no politics, unless you're Rick Converse, which I fucking hate. You know, he could politic anything, but, like, everybody else, your idea sucks, I don't care. Brad Stutz changed, and he made CWF what it is. Jeff Rudd, Coach Gemini, and Commissioner Cross, when they book maybe 1 or 2 main event matches, and then they throw the rest together. You know, we talked about this a little last night. They throw the rest together, and it'd be a bunch of useless tag matches and 6-mans and 8-mans. Didn't mean anything. When Brad took over, he absolutely took the book and was like, "Hey, I want everything to tie together. I want to make these people who are in the first match have a good story. I want people in third match. I want there to be a story. Hey, these people that don't come, but like once every 3 months, I want them to have a story." And he just made everything connect, kind of like the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He made it like that. And you can tell, I mean, that's all he does. He thinks about stuff, and he's very open to ideas. I really think that he was the catalyst that made CWF what it is today.
I sort of asked this as far as like a big picture, kind of for perception thing, but like as far as like in-ring, because obviously the workers are different. Is the style different from the early days?
Oh, absolutely.
How has that evolved?
Well, it all comes like, when I first started, there was a bunch of older wrestlers here, and they kind of had this vet mentality, where I don't got to go out and do stuff, you know, I'm just going to go out and have a basic match, I can make the crowd pop once or twice and I'll be happy. Now that evolved, and a bunch of young kids came. Trevor Lee, Justin Duke was one, and Eric Royal, Joe Black, who is Eric Royal's best friend, he was there, and they would come to training, and they would bust their ass. And I mean, you know, we put over Eric Royal on the panel, like, it was legit. They came in, they bust their ass, and they motivated not only the vets, but future people, like the new trainees that were just watching. And they motivated them, like, man, these kids are out there tearing it up. I got to step up my game. And so it went from being like an old school, I'm going to go out there and wrestle for 10 minutes and not call it, and we might do 5 or 6 rest holds, to let's go out here and tear it up, give the crowd something that they won't forget. Now it went even further with Trevor's experience and Drew's experience overseas and in bigger promotions. They come in and they tell us the little things that matter, you know? It's like every week you see in the Worldwide Show, it's the little things that matter. And so we learn that, and everybody in the locker room is open and receptive to it, and that's what makes our locker room special. Nobody's sitting there thinking, oh, no, I don't need you to tell me what to do. I mean, maybe Cyrus, but he's a tool. So, like, fuck Cyrus. But when people would say, hey, listen to this, everybody would listen. If Trevor's telling somebody what to do, we're all listening. If Drew's coming up and saying, hey, you know, maybe try this, we're all listening, because we all want to learn. The people who've been in the business 15 years and the people who've been in this 5 months, they're all listening. And that's what makes our locker room great. And that's what's changed over time. So the mentality in the ring.
So Eric Royal was kind of a bridge from the original generation to the current Trevor Lee thing. That's interesting. Who is your favorite opponent to work with from your time, and who is somebody that you're like, man, if my body was good, I want not just a match, but a kind of a run with a guy?
One of my favorite opponents was Lance Lewin. He was known as Ultra Dragon. I wrestled him in some crazy matches. In fact, he was one of the matches where I injured myself. I attempted a 630, and I did a 615, and knocked myself unconscious. But I also told him before that match, like, if I knock myself out, which I might, you better not pin me off of my own move. So legit, he's looking down at me, I'm unconscious, and he checks my breathing, and he says, and he goes up to the top rope and hits the lightest frog splash ever, doesn't touch me to protect me because he's awesome, and pins me, and then he checks my breathing, and then everybody comes out and I have to go to the hospital. He's one of my favorite opponents because we just had the most chemistry I've ever had with somebody. Nick is also one because I like to beat the shit out of him because I like... Sometimes he just pisses me the fuck off, and I hate him. He's annoying, but he's good.
And also willing to do whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. he's not quite as hardcore as I am, because and anybody that says so, they need to fucking wash their mouth.
Or go on CWFWorldwide.com and
yeah,
look up
Ghazi. Yeah, he's hardcore. I give him credit. He's hardcore as shit, and he'd do some crazy stuff, but he's not to my level yet. And I don't think he ever will be unless he does some crazy, stupid stuff. As for people that I'd love to wrestle, CL Party. I'd love to get her in the ring and beat the crap out of her just because everybody loves her. And, you know, everybody loves her. And everybody's like, oh, CL Party, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, come on, guys, perverts. Like, and I just want to beat her up. Not because I don't like her, but just to piss off all these people. And that's, you know me, I love to piss off people. I'd love to get them mad at me for beating up a woman that they love. It would be amazing. Kane would be good, you know, but I've already wrestled Trevor, so I know what Kane would want to do. Dirty Daddy would be one. I don't know why, but Dirty Daddy just seems like he would be fun in the ring.
Would you be the babyface or the heel in this scenario?
Oh, I'd beat the shit out of him. I would absolutely be the heel.
Okay.
Funny story. The reason we talked about this last night about Dirty being stiff, Dirty told me the reason he's stiff was because one of his first practice matches was against me. I know who he was. I didn't think he was going to make it in the business. Sorry, I keep hitting the table. But so one of the things, we wrestled, and there was a spot where I kicked him in the back. So I kicked him in the back, and I didn't think he sold it adequately enough. So as he's sitting there kind of just waiting for the next spot or whatever, I go ahead and decide to kick him in the face. And I do. And it chips two of his teeth, and he's gone for like a month. He comes back, and of course I apologize, because I didn't want to break his teeth or actually kick him in the face. It was a legit accident. But so I apologize, and he comes back, and he goes, by the way, I realized at that moment that I had to stiffen up, or people were going to take advantage of me. And I was like, well, that's great, and you should not let people take advantage of him. But you know I wasn't taking advantage. He goes, no, I know you weren't. He goes, but it just kind of clicked. It was like an impact and, you know, a light bulb went off in my head. He goes, that's why when I forearm people, I knock their lights out. And I was like, good, because it looks good. And, you know, if you can't take that kind of shit, you're in the wrong business anyway. So, yeah, Dirty Daddy would be fun to get in there. He'd probably stiff me and we'd beat the shit out of each other.
Now, you did a lot of hardcore stuff, your body's got some miles on it, and sounds like you're like, man, maybe I should have scaled it back. Is there anything that you see, now the guys that work for CWF Mid-Atlantic now don't usually quite go to that extent,
yes,
but is there anything that you end up seeing that you grab a guy and go, hey, I've learned, it's not the same thing I did, but I've learned from experience. You have a bump card, as was brought up last night at the bump card. Maybe tone it down. I'm not trying to hold you back, but is there anything that you see with guys here where you... And you don't have to be specific.
No, like, honestly, I would absolutely do that. People did that to me all the time back when I was first started. Like, tone it down. You don't need to get pedigreed off the top rope at camp in front of one person, you know, which I did. But, like, people around here, I think they're kind of smarter than that. And, like, you know, if this had been 2006, you'd had to pull people aside and do that. But now I think with the locker room leaders, you know, Grant Sawyer and Brad Stutz, you know, Coach Gemini and William Cross, Trevor and Drew, Eric, Roy especially. Roy's gold, by the way. Anybody that doesn't love Roy, you're dead to me. But, you know, those people will gladly tell you before your match, hey, don't do that, it's too much. And everybody, like I said earlier, everybody listens. And they're like, okay, you're right. None of this, well, it's going to get a good pop. No, they're not idiots. They're like, okay, you know, we're going to listen to these guys. These guys know. And that's what I love. Like, everybody in the locker room is very protective over not only the business and not only CWF, but each other. You know, we're looking out, maybe except for, you know, Donnie Dollars. Everybody's looking out for everybody. Yeah, go Power Rangers. But, like, when you do stuff in the ring that hurts you, it hurts the business. And nobody wants to hurt the business. Everybody wants CWF to be good and respectable. We don't want anybody to do stupid stuff. That aside, sometimes some of the stuff Trevor Lee does, like getting suplexed on a chair that's upside down on top of another chair, everybody's like, why, Trevor? Why would you do that? But of course, we're not going to say that to him because he's made more money than all of us combined. But other than that, and maybe Andrew Everett doing some crazy flippy shit, but we've come to expect that. He's been doing that since he was 9 years old. So.
Yeah, and we haven't even. Next time we'll have to talk about Omega and all that
ask
stuff.
Ask me about. Look, I want to take credit for this because I want to get this off my chest.
Go for it.
Nobody ever asked me. Andrew Everett mm-hmm. was Kid Kazi when he was 9 years old. Mm-hmm. He basically worshipped me. He came out with a mask, came out with all the gear, and I loved that kid to death. Right? And his dad always comes up and says, you know, you were instrumental in giving him, you know, that little bit of push when he was younger, and he's never forgot it. I'm like, all right, that makes me feel fucking wonderful, because I love Andrew Everett like a brother. Another guy that you'll never hear admit this, maybe except once, Trevor Lee. Me and Ultra Dragon wrestled a match, and it was pretty a high spotty, very, you know, PWG type stuff. And he was in the crowd. And that match is what made Trevor Lee want to become a pro wrestler. He's told me that. He said it on podcast one time. But now it's kind of that point where it's like, hey, what's your inspiration? He's going to say the Hardy Boys, blah, 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 whatever. And I know he's never going to listen to this, so I can tell the story all day. So, but it always makes me happy that, like, I had an integral part of helping two people that have gone so far. Like a proud father figure. You know what I'm saying? Trevor Lee was like my little brother. He stayed with me. I gave him, like, shelter, food. I made him do his fucking math homework. And when he wanted to play Call of Duty all night, I made him do that. I got him to shows. You know, he was like my little brother. And to see that, to see where he is now, as opposed to when everybody hated him, because everybody hated him at one point. They wanted to get him out of his company. He was conceited, and this was before he was really, really good. He's always had that raw talent, but this is before he was really, really good. Everybody wanted him out, and only two people wanted to give him a chance, and that's me and Coach Jim and I. We're like, we see something special in this kid, you know? And I never lost faith in him. I never will. He's one of the best pro wrestlers on the planet to me, and I love him like a brother, even though he's a dick to me all the fucking time, Trevor. Why are you a dick? But other than that, like, I just wanted
to... Still not listening.
Yeah, he's not listening. But I just want to say, like, it makes me feel so good to see two people that I had a small part in their career, like, do so much. It makes me so proud.
Kazi, we could talk for hours.
Absolutely.
I'll talk to you again. Thank you.
Thank you,
man. For being on Road Divers.
No problem.
And thus ends our time with @DarkKazi on Twitter. Thank you, Kamikaze Kid. That sounded really wooden. That's weird, because him and me are both asses who love to poke fun and then get all emotional. Thanks, Kazi. Really appreciate it. Hopefully, after next week, I will have a cool announcement on Kazi being involved on something. And if not, Kazi, you really dropped the ball. That wasn't my fault at all. Hopefully, we don't have to address that, though. Let's get into some plugs and, what do they say, upcoming events, if you're Colt Cabana. Your upcoming event is Battlecade. It's this weekend. Show up in Gibsonville Saturday. Just Google Mid-Atlantic Sportatorium find the GPS coordinates and show up. CWFtickets.com, or you may be able to get some at the door, but I wouldn't chance this one, guys. In all seriousness, they can hold tickets for you at the door. Please come. Our two feeds that make this possible for you to be listening to are PWPonderings.com and PlaceToBeNation.com. Go check out the content on both. They're pretty amazing. Really dedicated, very, very similar stories of guys who are very dedicated fans who wanted to be involved in the way that they could with their talents. Really good sites on both ends. Some interesting stuff. Check it out. Follow CWF Mid-Atlantic at CWF Mid-Atlantic on Twitter. Follow Brad Stutz, the creative director, at Stutzy. That's at Stutzy. If you want somebody who's 10 times nicer and a total sweetheart, follow the technical director. Not to be confused with the creative director of CWF. Technical director of CWF, Grant Sawyer, who is at StatMark, all one word, at StatMark, who's a really interactive guy. All things CWF he tweets about, and he loves Packers football, so if you want to talk to him about that, now is the time. I already told you about CWFtickets.com, where you can get all your merch and your tickets. But why not go to CWFWorldwide.com, because that takes you right to the YouTube page where you can watch CWF Worldwide every week, 9 p.m. Eastern on a Wednesday. But guess what? It's on demand. It's always there. You can pretty much watch shows that dropped at 9 p.m. Eastern 2 years ago. In fact, you can. I shouldn't say pretty much. You can. That is a provable fact. You can follow me at John Filipavage. That's at JohnPhilipavage. One of these days I'll get a Twitter handle just for the show, but for now, you gotta go hang out with me on Twitter. Next week, post-Battlecade 2018 kicks off with our gimmick match of a podcast. It is the Michael McAllister Falls Count Anywhere pod. That will all make sense to you when you listen next week. See you at Battlecade, folks. Good night.